What's up, everybody? I am Jeffrey DeLappy, and today on the Sports Kid Podcast, I am going to be talking about my New York Rangers. The Rangers are coming off a wild encounter with the Islanders a couple of days ago at UBS Arena. I was lucky enough to be at this game. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what the last three games remaining for the Rangers mean, and just their overall vibe heading into the playoffs. So let's start by pushing it back to Tuesday. Rangers and Islanders are meeting for the first time in about a month since they played on March 17th. And when you think about Islanders Rangers this year, only one game comes to mind, and that is the Stadium Series. The crazy game that saw 11 goals being scored outdoors at MetLife Stadium. Just a wild, fun game. I feel like the rivalry was almost renewed there. New York Rangers had a new coach, Laviolette. Islanders literally just got Patrick Waugh as their new head coach. So it was fun, you know, these two coaches meeting for the first time with these two new organizations, and the Rangers wound up coming back, taking the victory, setting the stage for their next win on March 17th, like I just talked about. Got that one done at MSG. So this was the first Ranger-Islander meeting at UBS Arena in quite some time, well over a year. And in the first period, I could not be more shocked. From the puck drop, the Islanders were more tenacious, more physical. They played like their playoff lives were on the line. And they did have a little bit of a cushion. They entered the day in third place. And they said, "We're not banking on having other results go our way." They took charge and took a 3-0 lead right away. And I was shell-shocked. I was sitting there in the UBS Arena suite. Shell-shocked. And I will take this opportunity to say, as much as I despise the New York Islanders, they have a nice stadium, they have nice suites. It's the one compliment I'll give them. But yeah, I could not believe it. Igor Shesterkin saved a penalty shot a couple minutes in. So he was doing well, but that bad penalty, or I guess it was a good penalty, but allowing that opportunity for Barzal was the first flaw of this defense, and that became a theme throughout the first period. They were allowing wraparounds around the net uncontested. Igor did save some of them, otherwise this could have easily been 5-0. I think the Islanders ended the first period with 18 total shots, and it was just miserable. But thankfully, hockey is a three-period game, and the Rangers came right back in the second period, did their thing. The Islanders started to get frustrated, taking some penalties. The Rangers scored on their first power play. Chris Kreider, of course, with his patented tip-in goal, always lurking around the net. And then the second power play did not pan out. It did not. But thankfully, the Islanders made a wacky mistake, delay of game. That gave us another opportunity. We capitalized. Adam Fox gets it done. And this is a brand new hockey game. From the second period on, the Rangers were the better team. Like I said, the Islanders killed it in the first period. But the Rangers woke up to a point where they outshot the Islanders 33-28 by game's end. And the one problem was the Rangers just could not find that third goal. They had chances, no more power plays, but they had plenty of chances 5-on-5. And that's where you have to score your goals, 5-on-5. As much as I hate to admit it. And in terms of 5-on-5 goals, the Islanders took the cake 3-0 in this game, and that's why they wound up winning. But that is not the end of the story right there. It is not just that the Rangers didn't score their third goal. It's not. I do give credit to Varlamov for that. But there was also some dirty action from the Islanders in that third period. Let's start with the play from Pelech on Mika Zibanejad, where it looks from afar as a collision. I thought it was a collision that night. I disagreed with Peter Laviolette's initial statement after the game, where the reporter asked about Zibanejad's health, and Peter Laviolette said, "Oh, he recovered from that vicious hit," to make sure that we knew it was vicious. I rewatched and I rewatched. It was not till I went and took a video, put it into Snapchat, and slowed it down that I saw what Pelech did. So if you do slow it down in Snapchat, you will see that Pelech knows that Zibanejad is there. He digs his elbow into him and lifts his shoulder. And then Pellick is the one that actually loses his balance to make it look like an accident after that happens. But he knew that Mika was coming. Now, do I think that he was doing something extraordinarily vicious here? No. But it's a penalty. It's an interference right there. And didn't get called. And the scary thing is that I don't think he was trying to hit Mika in the head. Like, he did hit Mika in the face. I think he was trying to do more of a body check. But he did hit Mika in the face. And Mika was flat down on the ice for a couple of minutes. Something you never see from Zibanejad. He is one tough man. So, whether Pelech meant it that way or not, it happened. And that's going to be remembered by Mika and his teammates come Saturday. And then, of course, the just equally as publicized play was the missed play on Trocheck at the end by, I believe it was Dobson. And he put his stick up, shoved him into the boards. Another no call. There was less than a half a minute to go. That probably would not have led to us coming back unless we won a face-off and got a shot off. The odds were slim the way Varlamov was playing. The point is, they roughed us up, and they got away with it. So, let me just say, Saturday, Rempe's gonna be there. It's gonna be at our home, and things are gonna get real. If you think that Peter Laviolette only cares about protecting his players from the playoffs, maybe that was his mindset going into Tuesday, but after Tuesday, let me assure you, it's not the mindset anymore. It's gonna be a rough game on Saturday. And yeah, you could just say that if this rivalry had a little bit of a lull in the past couple of years, it's back, especially since it looks like the Islanders are going to go to the playoffs. And, while we're on the topic, let's take a look at the NHL standings. So, over this last couple weeks, maybe a week and a half, the Islanders have won 5 games in a row, and they have swapped places with the former third place team in the Metro for it seemed like all year long, the Philadelphia Flyers, who have lost 8 in a row now, and who the Rangers play tonight, coming up in about a couple hours from the recording of this podcast. So they've swapped places. In the meantime, the Capitals have kept an even-keeled pace, and the Penguins have actually gotten hot to put themselves back in the mix. So the wild card standings are something that the Islanders don't even have to worry about right now because they're in third place. And if they do finish in third place, they would take on the second place team in the Metro, the Hurricanes, setting up a rematch of last year's series. But the wild card standings right now are Tampa Bay, who's already clinched a playoff spot. They're going to be one of the wild card teams almost definitely. And then it gets very close because you have the Red Wings at 84 points. You have the Capitals at 85 points, and you have the Penguins also at 84 points. So if it ended today, the wild cards would be Tampa Bay and Washington. And of those two, the Rangers, who are, looking poised to win their division, would play the Washington Capitals. If you're looking from a Rangers fan perspective, who do I want to play? Definitely not the Islanders, because I don't want a bloodbath. I don't want any extra rivalry going on, because drive and rivalry and familiarity with one another, those are the kind of things that can work against you if you're the better team. That kind of evens the playing field. The Rangers want somebody that doesn't have, that kind of beef with them. So I think the Islanders are off the table for who I want to see us play. The Caps, I'm not opposed to it. I know that everyone says they're hot. They've got a young core, solid goaltending this season. They haven't given up that many goals. But the big issue with me there is Ovechkin. He can come alive in the postseason. I don't think that he's going to necessarily be the sole leader of this team, but he's a problem. Another guy that's a problem is Tom Wilson, who's had a knack for hitting and injuring Rangers, so I don't want to see him. Penguins, I'd like to see. Red Wings, I'd definitely like to see. We exposed them the other day. But it's looking like right now it'll probably be the Red Wings or the Caps or maybe the Islanders. Of those, I'd pick the Red Wings as who I want to see. In terms of what the Islanders will see, I just said if it ends today, they'd play the Hurricanes. Honestly, I think they're going to finish in third place. They play the Canadiens and the Devils, two teams that are effectively out of it. They do play on Saturday, which I have full confidence we will beat them and get our revenge. And then they play the Penguins Wednesday, April 17th, who I would give the edge to the Islanders, they are at home in that game. I think they have definitely a willingness to fight from what I've seen recently. The Penguins aren't a pushover, but I like the Islanders. Just, I think they're better. Better goaltending for sure. Varlamov has been hot, and Sorokin, when he's on his game, he's one of the best in the league, right up there with Shesterkin. So, looks like the Islanders will be finishing in third. That's my official prediction here, and they'll be playing Carolina. But the other one outstanding piece to the puzzle that has not been solved is who's number one? Number one in the East and number one overall. Today, the Rangers would take both of those titles. They have 110 points, 1 point ahead of the Dallas Stars. We've both played 79 games. So it's going to be a race to the finish line. And the Rangers do control their own destiny, but one loss could throw this all out of whack. Look, the one thing that I care about is home rink advantage. In the playoffs, if you are the lower seed or have less points, then you're on the road for two games to start it out. You'll say, oh, the Rangers are a great road team. They'll be fine either way. It's a different ball game in the playoffs. In the playoffs, especially as you move on round to round, the atmospheres get crazier and crazier, especially with these teams we battle with in the East, like the Bruins and the Hurricanes. Don't tell me that the Hurricanes fans don't go crazy. They're going to get in the Rangers' heads. Don't tell me that Boston is an easy place to play. So I want that home ranking advantage. I could care less about the curse of the President's Trophy. Okay? It's just an award. And what makes it different from this year to last year is everybody is so close. Like, this thing is going to be decided by a couple points. Last year, the Bruins knew. They had it in their heads. All the pressure is on us to win. We've had a historic season. It's not like that this year. All the teams are kind of jumbled up close together, but the Rangers have been that small percentage better. I want them to keep, that number one for specifically home ring advantage. I think their chances to do so are pretty good. If you look on the schedule, they have the Islanders. Okay. That'll probably be a win. I think we want to get our revenge. I think Peter Laviolette must be stressing that. You have the Ottawa Senators in the last game of the season. I mean, I don't think that's going to be much of a challenge. And the Flyers, who have lost 8 games in a row, are coming to town today. Those are three winnable games, and three games that I think we will take 6 out of 6 points in. With that being said, the number one priority is to stay healthy. And I understand that. While we're going to show that we are not no pushover on Saturday against our rivals, number one priority is don't lose your head. Don't do something that's going to put you or your teammates in danger, and get to the playoffs staying healthy. I know that Saturday has the potential to be a bloodbath. It has the potential for Matt Rempe to get in some fights, to get bloodied up. And Rempe can go and do that. I'm not convinced that he's going to be, on the playoff roster being in game after game just because the fourth line has looked viable without him. I mean, they had Barkley Goodrow out there scoring goals. Jimmy Vesey looking pretty good on the fourth line as well recently. And I think that Laviolette's probably going to keep him off, at least the initial playoff roster for the first game. We'll see how that goes. But the rest of them have to stay healthy. Like, Mika Zibanejad being down on the ice the other day, that was scary to witness. He does everything for us. He scores power play goals at one of the highest rates on our team, probably our best power play individual besides Chris Kreider. He does the penalty kill better than anybody. He leads us in transition beautifully. He knows how to clear the puck. He takes face-offs. He is a very reliable man from the circle. He is just the whole package. And you really can't afford to lose a guy like him. And it's not just him. I mean, Chris Kreider got injured in that game. Ryan Lindgren had to go to the locker room. These guys have to stay healthy. They have to view the bigger picture while also maintaining a competitive edge. And that's the balance. I mean, that is the hard part of coaching. The job that Peter Laviolette's going to have to do to fire guys up and also make sure that they don't treat this like it's the last game of the Stanley Cup Finals. You have to find that balance. And, while we're talking about this head coach, I think I need to give an extra shout out to the kind of season he's had. Okay? He comes in his first year. He's bounced around the Metropolitan Division. has to regroup a team after losing in the first round. And we go what to start the season? 10-2? On an absolute tear. It doesn't stay that way, no. We have our slumps. We have a miserable December from where our standards were. And it's looking like we're going to lose out not only number one in the league, but lose out the division. He finds a way every single day. He is much more comfortable mixing it up in-game than Gerard Gallant was. You could see Panarin join Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad to have kind of that OG line. You might see Lafreniere get changed to the second line. He did not have an issue with restructuring the third and fourth lines, depending on who's hot and who's not. He is just a very intuitive coach that understands game after game. And the other thing is he knows when to play Jonathan Quick. I mean, I know that Jonathan Quick has himself to thank for this type of season. But there was a lot less backup goaltending last season. And rightfully so. We did not have a player like Jonathan Quick. But I think that it's done wonders for Igor Shesterkin. How about that stretch that Peter Laviolette decided to play Quick game after game, ride the hot streak, and force our Vezina goalie to watch from the bench? He knew intuitively that Shesterkin was going to pick himself up from that and rebound to have what was going on as a mediocre season. To now you could say he's been one of the best three goalies in the league this year. And I also must remind you, the injuries this team has faced. We were without Jacob Trouba for a stretch, Ryan Lindgren, Erik Gustafsson. It seems like Adam Fox at the beginning of the year for double-digit games. I mean, it feels like the whole defense had to be juggled, and we're finally back healthy now. How about the loss of Blake Wheeler? He was a veteran presence here, and he was starting to do and contribute more, do better things and contribute more. So Laviolette has found a way through all these difficulties to make the Rangers not just better, but arguably Stanley Cup favorites. I mean, pick one team. Tell me right now and argue with me. Who do you like over the Rangers to win? We've taken care of the Hurricanes, the only other true competitor in the Metro. The Bruins swept them. The Panthers, they have some postseason experience, but they have not had the type of season that we've had. Also, they've only won 4 in their last 10. I'm looking at it right now. And in the West, it's kind of just been up and down. The defending champions are not what they used to be. The Canucks, they're still all right, but not nearly as hot as where they were. Oilers choke in the playoffs every year. Colorado, eh. The Jets, they're all about goaltending. If they did not have Hellebuyck, they would not be the same team. They don't have the kind of offense. And the Dallas Stars, we took care of them in the regular season as well. I can't see one team that you could argue has been better than the Rangers, and we have Laviolette to thank abundantly for that. And yeah, I mean, all of this just goes to show the type of postseason that the Rangers fans have been waiting for. There's a level of expectation now that wasn't there in previous years. And when you look up at that standings and you're number one, you know you are the hunted. Even though talent-wise some of these teams are close, point-wise they're close, the Rangers are the hunted. But I think they have the players, that coaching to back it up. Lafreniere, what an amazing season he's had. I think he's really stepped it up and looked like the number one pick that we were all so hyped about. Mika Zibanejad, ever since the second half of Mika March, he's turned it up, scoring power play goals, looking like showing shades of vintage Mika. And Chris Kreider, it seems like he scores a power play goal every day now. One of the other big criticisms is that we only had a second line that was pulling all the weight. It's not the case anymore. We have Mika, we have Kreider. Kaapo Kakko got himself on a nice little point streak, proving that he's capable of stepping up in big moments. This team has depth, and I think that they're really close to the finish line of bringing home the Stanley Cup. We will see if they bring home the President's Trophy. That remains to be seen. It will be decided over the next several days. And it's going to be fun gearing up for the playoffs, which begin April 20th, just 9 days away. And That's going to do it for my time here on this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. As always, I am the Sports Kid. I will catch you next time.